Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai Ram, and good morning to all our brothers and sisters who are tuned to Morning Glory this morning. This is Karuna Munshi. While I am away from live RJing this week, I have nonetheless lined up a fresh serving of Sai inspiration and learning for you with two back-to-back exclusive interviews. First, you can enjoy Tris with Divinity, a popular series of conversations with Baba's devotees from around the world whose lives have been touched and transformed by the love of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba. This will be followed by interviews with Baba students under our series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Please enjoy the show and don't forget to email us your feedback at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company and Jai Sai Ram.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970 when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a movie or a video, right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love all, serve all. We've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, love all, serve all. We put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Trust with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Traced with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. Or, you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist. That is radiosai.org/TRYST or TRYST. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, greetings from Prashanthinilam and welcome once again to Tryst with Divinity, our series of interviews with seekers from around the globe whose lives have been touched and transformed by the love of Bhagwan Baba. Under the spotlight today is Mr. Billy Fong Goon Poi of Petaling Jaya, Malaysia. An active member of the Sai organization in Southeast Asia, Mr. Billy Fong is currently the Central Coordinator, Region 4.1, Zone 4, of the Satya Sai Baba organization covering Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia and Brunei. This episode of Tryst with Divinity was recorded at the studios of Radio Sai on February 7, 2014. And Mr. Billy Fong is in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Before sharing the highlights of his journey to Sai, he speaks of the successful celebration of the Chinese New Year 2014 at Prashanthinilam. Happy listening.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, at Radio Sai. We are delighted, right after the Chinese New Year celebrations in the Mandir, we are delighted to have with us Brother Billy Fong. Brother Billy Fong is the Central Coordinator for Region 4.1 under Dr. Ravi in Zone 4 of the Sri Satya Sai organization, the overseas organization. Sai Ram, Brother Billy, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, Sister Karuna.
Brother, we had an amazing Chinese New Year celebration yet again and in the Mandir this year.
That's right.
As we welcome the year of the wood horse.
That's right, year of the wood horse, yes.
In 2014. Now, this I understand is the 17th year we are celebrating it.
That's right, because we started, the first Chinese New Year was in the year 1997. Then, 1998, and then, Singapore took over, then Brother Wheeling took over the organizing of the Chinese New Year celebration. And then came the year 2007, where I was given the opportunity to coordinate the event. So from 2007 till this year, this is the 8th Chinese New Year, which I've been coordinating.
Beautiful, and it seems to get better and bigger each year.
Well, hopefully, we hope to get as many Chinese to come to put up party. In fact, the Chaitanya Jyoti?
Yes.
The one who actually coordinated the building of the Chaitanya Jyoti was our one brother Chia Wun Kong from Malaysia. He was my predecessor. You know, when he was coordinating the building of Chaitanya Jyoti, Swami told him, Chaitanya Jyoti will be the wonders of the wonders of the world. And in time to come, millions of Chinese from mainland China will come.
Whoa, and I guess that's why they picked the architecture. It has a Chinese roof, one of the largest in the world, single roofs outside of mainland China.
Yes, that's right.
Huh, amazing. What divine foresight. Now, how do you go about... The Chinese are the largest ethnic group in the world right now.
That's right, especially in China.
Of course, and all over the world too. That's a very large diaspora.
Yes.
How do you get yourself organized to invite Chinese from so many diverse countries to come and join us in Puttaparthi?
First, for every event, we always have a detailed circular telling them this event, what is the objective of the event, And we circulated to the countries in the Far East. And for the first time, this circular has been sent internationally for this particular Chinese New Year. And I must say that we have a very good response from US, South Africa, Brazil, Australia, and Italy, and many other countries, And they were particularly interested in the Om Mani Padme Hum retreat, which is part of the Chinese New Year program.
And the traditional faiths of people of Chinese origin are generally Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism.
Yes, Buddhism, Taoism and Confucianism, yes.
And we saw a lot of that come through. The drama that the children presented was about Confucius.
Yes.
And his teachings.
That's
and the first prayer that we began the Chinese New Year, it was led by the Buddhist prayers.
That's right, the Buddhist prayer. You see, the objective of the Chinese New Year pilgrimage and celebration is to... bring back tradition and Chinese culture to our, Chinese brothers and sisters. Because Swami have said in the Dhamma Wahini, go back to your own tradition, go back to your culture, all the values are there. Go back to your religion, be a better Buddhist. That's why we always emphasize, try to put in as much as Chinese culture and tradition. In 2007, the theme was filial piety, the cornerstone of Chinese
civilization.
That's right, because this value of filial piety has been lost. That's why every year we try to tell them, filial piety,
That's very true, because filial piety is the cornerstone of Chinese culture.
That's right.
And over the generations, over the years, it seems to be such an ancient topic. People don't seem to believe in it. And I think once children grow up, older parents are suffering a lot of neglect, even in an Asian society like Chinese.
That's right. In fact, I came across an article, old folks' home business are mushrooming in China, and they are unable to cook. Because many children are now sending their aged parents to the old folks' home. So we're trying to raise the consciousness that the basic value that we must teach our children is filial piety. respect for parents. And this is what Swami has always been emphasizing.
Exactly. He says, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava. Your first gods are your parents.
That's right. That's right.
And it's strange, I don't know, maybe with the communist revolution that came into China, the traditional, along with religion and faith and spirituality, the values also just fell by the wayside.
That's right.
You can't separate values and say, okay, we're not going to follow the faith, but just hold on to the values.
That's right. These are basic values that every human being must practice.
Yeah. And you know what I found fascinating, Brother Billy Fong, is the fact that a few years ago, you had devotees come apart from countries of the Far East, you know, the usual suspects like Taiwan, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and the Philippines and such. We had devotees come from mainland China.
That's right. That was in the year 2008. It was through one Uncle Choi from Hong Kong. And when he heard about the Chinese New Year celebration, he said, can I bring some devotees from China? They can present a musical item. Can you do that? We most welcome them. And they perform on a Chinese musical instrument. I think the erfu, some musical instrument, you know. So I think about 8 of them came in 2008.
And I'm sad that we didn't record their impressions of their visit. What did they tell you? What did they feel coming here? What was their impression of being in Prashanti? And in Bhagwan's physical presence, because Swami was still in the body.
Yes, yes, they were very happy to be here, to have the opportunity to come here. In fact, the place we came from is a place called Fengshan. And that center has now built by Bongs and Lips, and now it's a very big building. I saw on the internet. Unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to visit them as yet, you know. And so, Swami, what I understand is that a lot of miracles have happened in that center. One of our Sai members have gone there, you know. It's on the wall. There's a Baba's picture, and he recorded on video. Unfortunately, it wasn't very clear. Baba's started talking in the picture. A photo of Swami on the wall. And
a still photograph.
Still photograph.
Start speaking.
Well, that was amazing, you know. So, I think Swami has been giving out his calling cards.
What language did Baba speak in China?
I believe must be the Chinese dialect there.
So Cantonese, was it in that part of China?
In that part is Cantonese.
Cantonese.
Cantonese, I believe it's Cantonese, yes.
It's just so hard to wrap your head around the glory of this avatar. He is in places that we have not even clue about.
That's right.
His glory is just spreading. Now, you had such a large contingent. How many people came this time for Chinese New Year 2014?
This time we have close to about 350 devotees coming from Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, and the surrounding regions. In Thailand also, they were here, no?
So ASEAN countries.
ASEAN countries, you know. And then we have a lot of other devotees who heard about the program, you know, the Om Mani Padme Hum, and they came from US, Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and Japan as well, you know. And many of them like particularly the chanting, you know.
And the chanting is so uplifting. It has a beautiful vibration.
That's right.
I think there can't be a better place than the Sai Kulwant Hall to hear its resonance.
Yes, yes. In fact, the Tibetan chanting started in the year 2007. We always have the Tibetan Buddhist chanting first before, then the next day is the Chinese cultural program, Youth cultural program.
And your group has brought a lot of monks from Dalai Lama's ashram at Kushalnagar.
That was arranged by Captain Ong and Sister Ming Ming, you know, for the Tibetan Buddhist chanting.
Right.
They organized that, and Swami particularly liked the Tibetan monks very much.
Yeah,
you know, and if you look back at the video in the of the chanting in 2010, it was a very grand event. You know, and Swami, understand, granted the Tibetan Lamas, many interviews.
And a lot of grace. Even he could see from the interaction how pleased he was to interact with them and to have them here.
That's right. And Swami encourages devotees to chant Om Mani Padme Hum. Mm. Because this mantra is chanted by all Buddhists, irrespective of the, you know, whether it's Mahayana, Theravada, you know.
So it's common to all sects of
common
Buddhism.
Common to all. And this is where I actually, whenever any Chinese center I go, I would encourage them to chant Om Mani Padme Hum. And now that this year we have this very melodious Buddhist chanting by Indonesia. And when I go back, I intend to tell centers, have this as your beginning mantra before you have the bhajans. So that more and more Chinese will come, you know, and feel that they are at home.
Because they can relate to it. And
they can relate to it, yes, yeah. Right.
Now, in the contingent of about 350 Chinese from all over the world who here to celebrate the New Year at Bhagwan's lotus feet rather than with their family, with lots of food and celebrations, how many of were first-timers?
Oh, I would say probably maybe 30%.
That's a huge number.
30%.
And they were motivated enough to come to Prashanti, even after Mahasamadhi?
Yes, I believe they know about Swami. There are many people who know about Swami, but unfortunately they never had the opportunity to come for Swami's darshan. And now that, you know, they know that, you know, there is a pilgrimage coming here, and they were very much eager to come.
I see. And what was their experience like? Did you get any feedback?
They were very happy, you know. They were very happy, you know. This is a very, the place is very serene, you know, and a good place for sadhana. And those who come are actually keen in sadhana, you know, and they say, you know, this is very nice. I'd like to come back again.
Mm.
So I believe for next year's Chinese New Year celebration, it's important for us to reach out to the fringe devotees and bring them here. So we always tell Chinese, you see, Chinese New Year is the most important festival for the Chinese. Wherever we are, you know, we may be working far away, but come Chinese New Year, we must always go back to our home to have reunion with our families. And the most important part of Chinese New Year is the Chinese New Year Eve, where we have a reunion dinner, everyone gathered together. And then, you know, the first day and second day, we visit our, you know, call friends, you know. And this is where I emphasize to the Chinese devotee, we must follow this tradition. But as much as our physical parents, you know, are important to us, we must not forget our spiritual father and mother, Bhagawan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Our parents have given us this body, but Swami has given us the secret to liberation, and he has taught us how to live as a human being. So come Chinese New Year, if you go back and pay respect to our physical parents, we must come here and pay our respect to Swami.
Beautiful, so eloquent. You have it all figured out. You're a very sorted person, brother. Now, I'm just curious to know, you've been associated with Swami since 1980.
That's true.
How did you come to the Divine Lotus Feet?
Okay, now, sometime in 1980, a friend showed me a pendant. On one side was Swami. On the other side was Kuan Yin, or Goddess of Mercy. Until today, I've not seen another pendant like that. So this friend of mine told me, Kuan Yin has now reincarnated in India, and he materialized a lot of things, and he materialized powder or vibhuti, you know. So when I heard that, I was very curious, because my mother prayed to Kuan Yin, and from small she said, you must pray to Kuan Yin for protection. So and then I started asking my friends, okay, have you heard of Sai Baba, Sathya Sai Baba? Then a colleague of mine who is not a devotee gave me a book, Journey to God, written by Brother Jagadishan.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the book, you know, and straight away I can accept his teaching because it's very universal.
So this happened in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Okay.
And I find it provides me with all the answers to I have, you know, because every religion says that their religion is the only religion to heaven. And then from the book, I then called up the center, you know, went to the center, you know, to find out more. When I went to the center, I was looking for vibhuti. Where does the book say, you know, a lot of vibhuti, you know, in many places. But I don't find vibhuti. Then from one center, I went to another center, but the centers in Malaysia don't have vibhuti. But then I came back to Bangsa Center, where Brother Jagadishan was the chairman at that time, you know. And they have a lot of service activity. So that was what attracted me. especially going to the blind home, the old folks home, you know. And while there, I experience, you know, the understand better what is science teaching is all about. Then came 1982. That was my first visit to Puttaparthi. I stayed here for 21 days. And when I came with a group of friends, okay, and we were staying in the flats, you know. After that, I was they went back. After 1 week, they went back. So I was alone. And then I heard that they don't have enough rooms. Then I say, okay, I'm staying in a big room. Do I need such a big room? So might as well I go to the shed. So I thought the shed is a very nice place to go to, you know. Mm. You know. So I surrendered my room back. You know, I said, I'd like to go to the shed. I don't need such a big room. You know, I heard a lot of people don't have rooms. Mm. So I went to the shed. Oh, okay. A big place, you know. But it's very interesting, okay. So, as I stay, you know, as the days goes by, I felt some kind of feeling, which is, I cannot explain. You know, because those days, you go for darshan, you know, and, you know, those days, there's no Sai Kuan Ho yet. And a kind of feeling that I'm not doing enough as a human being, you know. I remember, you know, closer to the day, I wrote a letter to Swami. Swami, you know, please bless me, you know, I just joined a bank. Please take care of my career, you know. Swami, if you can materialize a ring for me, a pendant for me. You know, because a Singapore devotee, which I first met, told me, if you come to Puttaparthi, you must ask something from Swami. You know, because he's God, he'll give you. So, you know, then as I sat there, you know, Swami didn't collect the letter. Then I realized, okay, if Swami is the God, why should I ask for all these things? Then something prompted me to write this letter. You know, Swami, I want to do your work. Change me from a street dog to a street light. And he took the letter. So, and then I went back. And then after I went back, suddenly I was made appointed as the youth coordinator of the center, no? Bangsa Center, where Jagadishan was the chairman. Mm. Then subsequently I became the national youth coordinator. And then in 2004, I became the president of the Sai Council of Malaysia. Then after that, I finished my term and I, presently I'm now the vice president in charge of Sai Chinese Affairs in the Sai organization in Malaysia. So my, closest experience with Swami was in the year 1997. So at that time I was, in charge of secretariat for the organizing of the Chinese New Year 1997, and I was also in charge of organizing a drama, the first drama, you know, that Malaysia, you know, organized, and it was quite a challenge because at that time nobody wants to act, so I myself had nobody want to act in a drama.
I see. They were shy.
I think they never have that experience.
Yes,
okay. So I myself had to persuade my wife, okay, we need a couple in that drama. Okay, so you, if I act, you have to be my, you know, the wife there in the drama, okay. So I remember the next day is supposed to be the event, okay. So the night itself, I was still trying to memorize the script. And then I was given a directive, tomorrow, Billy, you will give the welcoming address. I was stunned. Brother, okay, I'm still trying to remember the lines, okay.
Now I have to remember a speech also.
Yeah, the speech also, okay. Well, you have to, okay, you know. And, so I gladly took that challenge, okay. So I remember I spoke, you know, in front of Swami, and towards the end, something, there was something in my heart which I wanted to pour out, okay. Then I said, Swami, you know, you say that when we come to Puttaparthi, we must leave behind some negative qualities.
Mm.
And must bring back some good qualities. Swami, I've got these small negative qualities. Imagine speaking this in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh, Swami, I have this negative quality of envy and jealousy. We shall like to live at your lotus feet. And I like to bring back the value of patience. So, and that day I went to root Paranamaskar, no? And as I, no, Dumanam said, then I saw Swami waving his hand.
Mm.
I thought he was going to materialize Vibhuti for me, okay? Mm. And then he materialized a chain and a pendant for me. And as I look up, At that time, the mandir was decorated. You know, the place where Swami was sitting, there was these pictures of the god forms, you know, the beggar monk, and there was a picture of Kuan Yin there. So as I think back, you know, I got to know Swami through Kuan Yin, and now Kuan Yin was there.
Yes.
And Swami was there.
Perfect. And the locket you had seen had both the images and
no,
both the forms were there.
It was...
So the one that your friend had shown you first.
Yeah.
It had Kuan Yin and it had Swami.
On one side is Kuan Yin, the other side is Baba.
Satya Sai Baba.
Satya Sai Baba.
And you were sitting in front of Satya Sai Baba and you had a picture of Kuan Yin behind
That's him. Right. Because Kuan Yin was part of decoration.
Decoration, my God.
So I think...
And the chain that he gave you, what was the locket? In
It was an Om chain, you know, okay. Om locket. Okay. Because what happened is that I work in a bank. And as a bank, I need to sign a lot of documents, you know.
Okay.
I initial a lot of documents. So whenever I put my initial there, money goes out. So I would say, okay, Swami, you say, you know, you can always protect. So I've what they call, use Om as my initial. You know? So when any check comes, Om.
You write Om?
I write Om, you know.
So and the bank honors that Om?
No, because I'm a bank officer. So what happens is that, when checks comes in for payment, before my signature, it won't go out. So when I write, when my Om is there, money goes out. So, so I guess, you know, probably that was the reason for me.
Gave you an Om, huh? He was confirming your... Now, you're born in the Chinese faith and you live
That's
in a
right.
very multicultural society, a country that has a predominantly Islamic population,
That's right.
a large segment of Chinese population, and the rest of the people are a sizable Indian population of Hindu origin,
That's
and
right.
then there are Eurasians and others.
That's right.
How does Swami's message go down with the people that you take it to as member of the Sai organization?
Well, this was where we fortunately have the wisdom of our elders, no, who tell us, okay, the society must recognize us as a force in nation building. And everyone, you know, must treat Sai as an ally. Every religion must treat Sai as an ally. So this is where in Malaysia we are particularly active in the promoting interfaith. We promote the teachings of Swami, but not his form. That's why we are very much been recognized by the government of Malaysia, especially the Prime Minister Department. In fact, currently the Department of National Unity and Integration, which comes under the Prime Minister Department, has invited the Sai organization to be a consultant to promote national unity.
Oh, congratulations, that's phenomenal.
In fact, currently our government has set up a, what they call, unity council. And one of the members chosen to be in the council is Professor Dr. Suresh Govind, the current president of the Sai Council of Malaysia.
That's great news. What an endorsement. What a, I would say, what a foresighted government you have to recognize that this is one organization that can contribute so productively to its national integration efforts.
That's right. And this is where we had, in the past, we had, for many years, we have always been having medical camps, okay? And we must let the government know what we're doing. So whenever we have big events, we always invite a minister, cabinet minister, or the local chief to come and officiate the event. And in Malaysia, we have set up something very unique. It's called the Friendship Group for Inter-Religious Service. And the members of the Friendship Group comprises of the Muslim group, the Angkatan Belia Islam, which is the Islamic Youth Movement of Malaysia, the Buddhist Mahavihara, the Council of Churches, the Hindu Sangam, and the Sikh group. And how we run this friendship group for inter-religious service is that it is an informal body. It is not registered. And it is an informal gathering of all the religions in Malaysia for the purpose of providing selfless community service and to promote human values. And this is coordinated by the Satya Sai Baba Central Council Malaysia. And we have been having the friendship group event for no less than 11 years. And the religions, they're very supportive. In fact, we are the only interfaith group in Malaysia where we have strong support of the Muslim group. And we have been invited, we have service, we have dramas to promote. In fact, we have one drama called Friendship. Mm-hmm. Friendship is about five friends, you know. Mm-hmm. One a Muslim, one a Buddhist, a Christian, a Hindu, and Sikh. Mm-hmm. And how, despite their religion, they can come together and work together for the good of the nation. And we have performed this drama in the major university in Malaya, in front of 3,500 students, freshy students, when we invited for the second consecutive year this year. We have also managed to form an interfaith orchestra. So, in fact, the Department of National Unity said we would like this drama and this orchestra to perform in all the major cities in Malaysia, because this is promoting national unity.
Oh, this sounds wonderful. Great work being done. And we are so happy that you're sharing it with our listeners all over the world. These are amazing ideas that others can also learn from, rest of us in other countries, and follow suit. These are great examples. So you basically focus on the values, take the essence of Swami's message and make it an integral part of how it can contribute towards nation building.
That's right. So our buzzword is nation building.
Very good buzzword. Very good strategy. Great vision. Wow. Dr. Fong, do you foresee, you're a person of Chinese origin, as far as your ethnicity goes. How do you foresee Swami's prophecy coming true that people from mainland China are going to come to Chaitanya Jyoti and actually relate to, among others, when they behold it, they will relate to the architecture. When they go inside it, their soul will relate to what is inside it. Do you foresee that coming true?
I believe it will come true. I believe it will come true. And this is where we have a great task to how do we promote Swami's teaching to mainland, you know, Chinese mainland China. And this is where the translation of, you know, Swami's material into,
dialects
is very important.
Yeah.
And yesterday you have heard the speaker yesterday. In fact,
yes.
His name is Brother Yong Kong Wai, you know. He was our past vice president in charge of Chinese affairs, and he's in charge of the translation. And we have translated many discourses. We have even come up with 40 short videos of Swami's message bilingual in English as well as in Mandarin. And in fact, our translated articles, you know, every day in a Chinese newspaper in Malaysia, Swami's message appear.
Oh.
Every day, daily.
Like a thought for the day?
Thought for the day. A very short message. And every week, EHV message appear. You know? We take the message from heart to heart, you know, Chinakata, you know? And we have more than about 40 articles.
So, these are paid advertisements that you carry in a local
chair? Not paid advertisement.
Then?
They publish it free.
They do it free? They give you the space free?
They give us the space free.
Which newspaper is this?
Xinhua Daily in Sarawak, Malaysia.
Wow.
So we're trying to now to see how we can also...
Good going, Xinhua Daily of Sarawak,
yes,
Malaysia.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic news. So did you approach them and how did you go about it? Did you ask them that we have something to offer? Can you give us space or did they come looking for you?
It so happened that one of our members in Sarawak, he has some, he knows the press people well. And that relation helped us to be able to put in the message of Swami. You know, and the message is all universal values, and
this applies to everybody.
Yes,
this is what Chinese culture says.
Yes,
this is what Islam says.
That's right.
Is what Jesus taught us.
So if you
look at Swami's universal message, nobody can find any flaw with it.
That's right.
It resonates with every major faith, doesn't it?
And currently, one of the major problem of the country, and not only in Malaysia, all over the world, is disrespect for parents, sending parents to old folks home. And this is where we have what you call adopted something called, we come up with a team called Honor Our Parents Every Day. And this is a major trust we're pushing to raise the consciousness that we must practice filial piety. How do we do that? Through the media of drama. And we have had a national inter-school human values drama on filial piety. And we have had, I think this is the third consecutive year. And last year we even have ASEAN Human Values Drama Competition on filial piety. The theme, honor our parents every day. So using this, we get, so to really promote Swami's teaching, this is the cry of the hour.
So the hot button issues of society.
Yes.
Lack of respect for parents.
That's right, you know, and parents are crying. How you know, and parenting.
Yes.
We have got we have come up with a module called Parent Care, you know. In fact, when Robert and Rita Bruce came to Malaysia, when they saw the program, the first thing they said is, "Patent it and show this to Swami." So we promote parent care. Parent care this module is a brainchild of our president, Professor Dr. Suresh Govin, and we promote this to society. In fact, the Ministry of National Unity say promote this to everyone. No, this is universal values.
Hmm. So interesting. So much to learn. There's wonderful work going on. And from what I'm hearing from you, these are very good strategies to take Swami's message mainstream in any society. If you can do it in Malaysia, I think we can do it in many other parts of the world
that's
which
right,
are more liberal.
Right. Malaysia is a fundamental Islamic country.
That is right. And you're doing it, you're approaching it from a very careful and well thought out
that's right.
place.
That's right. And this is where we must be very careful not to be chauvinistic, you know. In our centers, I believe one photo of Swami is enough. Whereas the wall of the center should be, if you want to, put Swami, put him serving the poor.
Yeah.
Swami as the chancellor of a university, you know. And we should push forward the message of Swami, not his form. Then the society will readily accept us.
Good strategy, good perspective, very interesting, and very well thought out. Now, Brother Billy, you've been with Swami since 1980, 34 years, and you're serving his organization so actively. So coming from a Chinese background, you grew up praying to Kuan Yin. If I asked you, who is Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba for you, what would you say?
He is my master.
Define master, what do you mean?
He's the one who... to me, he's God. I may have many teachers, but he's my only master.
I see, beautiful. Now, the day you had the courage to bare your soul and in front of 20,000 people, you ended your speech by spontaneously telling him that you want to leave behind your two negative qualities.
That's right.
Jealousy, isn't it? And then jealousy and envy.
That's right.
And take back patience from his lotus feet.
That's right.
Did you undergo a transformation? Did you feel it happen?
I remember the next day, we had a special darshan. Those delegates, you know, who came, you know, so non-delegates, unfortunately, that day they cannot enter the hall. So all the Chinese delegates, they line up, and Swami is able to walk past by, okay. Then Swami came, you know, and give prasadam to everyone, you know. So he came and he materialized a ring, and he gave it to the person next to me. Then I felt
quick test
in a way. What is this, no? Why am I having envy and jealousy? Which means Swami is telling me, okay, to overcome negativity you must be constantly be aware of your thoughts. Then I say Saram, you know. So by saying Swami, I like to surrender, you know, this negativity at your lotus feet, it doesn't mean that you'll be transformed. You have to work on it. You must be constantly beware of your thoughts. Watch my thoughts now. Why am I having this feeling? And for me, the mantra, help ever, hurt never, help, you know, love all, serve all, is very important. This mantra alone is enough to bring us for moksha. There are many devotees who may not read, you know, just tell them, you know, Swami's teaching is help ever, hurt never, love all, serve all. And with that, whenever there's conflict, okay, whenever someone scolds you, never scold back. Because if you scold back and you answer back, you're hurting the person's ego. Just keep quiet. You know, I believe this.
What if they're doing something adharmic?
Well, then you have a right to protect Dharma. And you have a right to what you call correct it. You must correct it.
Now, speaking of the ring that the person next to you got, I notice you also have a Baba ring around your neck in your chain.
Oh, yes. That was in 1998, the second World Youth Conference. At that time, I was in charge of the secretariat, you know, registering all the participants from overseas. And then on the day of the conference itself, okay, there was a march pass, okay, of youth into Sai Kuan Hall. And then I was given the blessing to be one of the speakers. I remember the four speakers, you know, one of them is Sister Wendy Ward from US, you know, the two speakers from overseas and two speakers from local India. So I was the second speaker, you know, then two local speakers, okay. So I finished speaking, you know. And when everyone has finished speaking, then Swami gave his discourse. After he finished his discourse, he looked at me and asked me to come.
Beckoned you.
Begged me to come. So I was, went in front of him and he materialized a ring for me. And then he pat me on the back. Well done.
Nice. Beautiful. Must be such a special memory for you to hold close to your heart.
That's right.
Beautiful. Now, you come from a traditional Chinese family and you're so much into Sai movement. How does the rest of your family, especially your extended family, react to your devotion to Sathya Sai Baba?
Baba has said, if you're Buddhist, become better Buddhist.
Yeah.
And also I send, when my children were young, I send them to the Buddhist Sunday school, okay? My wife is very much devoted to Swami and my children are now grown up, you know. So my parents and my brothers and sisters, they accept Swami. They accept Swami.
Beautiful. Well, it's been so nice listening to you and to all the good work you do. And if I may take the liberty on behalf of all of us at Radius, I want to congratulate everybody in Malaysia who is doing such remarkable work in taking Bhagwan's message to mainstream Malaysians by making it a part of their nation building. I think that strategy to take the values and prove to society that what Sai Baba teaches edifies the quality of our life. I think that's very beautiful. A lot of lessons to learn there. Congratulations to all of you.
Thanks for the honor to be here today, you know, to share my experience with
We want to thank you on behalf of all our listeners, because I know as much as I learned listening to you, so will our listeners. So thank you very much, brother.
Thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Our pleasure. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, you just heard a Tryst with Divinity interview with Mr. Billy Fong of Malaysia. He was in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. This interview was recorded on February 7th, 2014 at the studios of Radio Sai. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. Dear listener, your feedback is important to us and do share your thoughts by emailing us, as always, to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram from Team Radio Sai here at Prashanthiland.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan?
Oh my God.
I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I joined the Sathya Sai College, I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall and he's not something so distant. It's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench, a student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling.
It saw me.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect His teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/saistudents. That is radiosai/saistudents. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Dear listeners, welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, Radio Sai series of interviews with the former students of the Sai University and schools. Today is the 9th of May 2014 and we have with us Mrs. Kalpana Heblekar, a graduate of the Sai University's Anantapur campus. Kalpana Kaikini Heblekar completed her Bachelor's in Commerce from Baba's Anantapur College in the year 1982. Thereafter, she settled into matrimony and motherhood in Mumbai while pursuing a career in banking for 10 years. And through the many roles that she juggled in her life, her divine revered chancellor, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, remained the center of her inner life and she continued to stay tuned to his command. Today, Kalpana is involved in some groundbreaking NGO work which she started after receiving inner inspiration from her Lord Sai. She teaches creative handicrafts to rural women in India and other developing countries as a step towards their self-empowerment. She then markets their finished products in different countries like the UK, USA, the Netherlands, China and Sri Lanka. All the guidance and the self-confidence needed for her work comes from Baba in various states of consciousness. Today we hope to learn more about Kalpana and her mission to help rural women in the developing world. Sai Ram Kalpana and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna Ji.
It's very nice to have you here finally after a lot of effort trying to catch hold of you. Now let's just rewind the clock back and go down history lane and learn how Baba entered your life.
Actually, I was born by the grace of Swami himself, and it was way back in 1961, and my parents were very close devotees of Swami that time, and every time, you know, my mother used to tell him that I don't have a daughter, I've got three sons. So he said that very soon you'll get a daughter, and that's how I was born. And after that, it was no looking back, because each time, every month we used to come to Parthi from Bombay, the whole family. And my elder brother was very close to Swami. Like he had got a very beautiful experiences, like Swami showed Krishna avatar to him. And then there were many experiences which he became, you know, from a non-devotee, and he never believed in what is God, and he has got the opportunity to stay with God himself.
So, what do you mean, two things, what do you mean by stay with God, and can you share a little, did he give you any detail about this Krishna avatar darshan?
Yes, when we had come to Parthi, I was very small at the time, and that is what I heard from him. Swami asked him that he was reading a film magazine outside in Swami's darshan line. So Swami came to him and he said that what do you want? So this is materialistic, what do you want? So he said that I don't believe in God. So if my mother believes and she wants me to come here, you should do something which, you know, I should believe that you are God. So Swami called them for the interview, and they went in the interview room, and then Swami said that which God you like to see. So my brother, he is Anil Kaikini, he is in Pune now. He said, Baba, if you show me Krishna avatar, I will believe that you are God. And then Swami said, just keep looking at me. And there was water upstairs, water down, blue color, and Swami slowly turning into Krishna. And with that, he fainted, and he afterwards Swami applied vibhuti to him. And when they came out of interview room, he was just, you know, falling at Swami's feet, and he was ready to be here in Parthi, but Swami said, no, you have duties towards your parents, so you have to go back. So that is how he came. And then afterwards, every time when Swami was coming to Dharmakshetra in Bombay, he was there with Swami's, for attending Swami's close works and all that.
Very fortunate.
Yeah, very fortunate. And Swami, during his closeness, he told him so many experiences. He was telling my brother, he was saying that Swami is so divine that, you know, each and every minute of Swami he is spending for the people. He has got no like for himself, he is not keeping any time. So that is what very impressing.
So I guess it was only natural for your family to pick Anandpur College for you and for you as well?
No, I was also very modern before.
Okay.
And
the movie magazines ran in the family.
No, but what happened is I was the only daughter and I was very pampered. Though I was a Balvika student and all, I was towards the materialistic world more, you know, because my friends were not in the Sai community. So, you know, they were pulling me more, and then I used to, you know, enjoy my life with them more. And what happened is after my 10th, my brother, third brother, he wanted to join Swami's college in Vrindavan. So we came to ask permission from Swami that whether he should join. And we were sitting opposite. My father and my brother were sitting in Vrindavan opposite, and I was sitting with my mother. And Swami just came out from Trai Vrindavan straight to us, and my mother said that my brother wants to join. He said, no, he doesn't require, let him be there only, make this girl come to Anantapur. And I was not believing that Swami will tell me to come to Anantapur, but then in a minute I changed. I don't know, that was the time when I said, then my friends, when I went to Bombay back, they said, Kalpana, you are going to join colleges. So I said, no, Swami has told me to say go to Anantapur. Anantapur, why you are going to that place? It is all rocky. Where you are going to be there? I said, no, it is Swami's word, and that is it. I'll be in Anantapur. And that is how I went. I chose to come to Anantapur.
And I'm sure you had some amazing times in Anantapur. What was that experience like?
Beautiful. First experience was, I just remember, Swami was going to come to our college on 7-7-77. And my parents left me in the hostel on 1-7-77.
So intermediate?
Yes.
Okay.
So what happened, I was feeling very lonely and very, very homesick that time. And everyone was speaking in Telugu, which I didn't know the language. And I was feeling little out of place, and I started crying. And I wanted to, you know, I was so used to this mineral water and all, boiled water. So I drank the tap water that time, and I got tonsillitis. And full my tonsils were swollen up, and I had high fever, and I slept crying because my parents had also left, and I don't know, the environment was very new to me, you know. So I slept, and what happened, Swami comes to my dream, and he says that you are suffering from throat pain. So I say, yes, Swami. Then he's saying, I think you have got tonsils. And he just, you know, he places his hand on my tonsils, and he takes out the tonsils, keeps it in the bottle, okay, and just like how he has done the operation, like the doctor does the operation, he takes out and keeps it in the bottle, both the tonsils, and he gives me ice cream to eat. And then he says, from today onwards, you'll not get anything like this. And that is true. Till now, I have not got it.
Yes. So the divine surgeon performed surgery in your dream.
It was a first experience. Then I thought that I will not go anywhere, but I will be till, you know, where, till I die in Swami's feet only. I was thinking like that.
Oh, so actually the tonsils just disappeared. And
yes,
the
after that I'm quite fine. And there are many experiences in my life where Swami has, you know, literally, I was going to die and Swami has helped me out. So these are many years later on, like just 3 or 4 years before, my eldest son was going to UK. So just 1 week before, I could not get up from the bed. Completely, you know, I just could not get up. I don't know the reason why. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get up for any errands also. So I was just praying to Swami, and Swami comes in my dream and says, get up. And I'm get up and I'm going to different places also.
So what had happened to you that you froze like that?
I don't know. There's no, we showed the doctor also, but there was no reason. But I was completely on bed for 1 week. I could not do anything. And I never thought in my dreams also that I will be again walking.
Were you feeling weakness or were your
joints stiff? No, nothing. Suddenly. Suddenly. There was no reason. I don't know. Maybe Swami wanted to show that he can do everything.
So going back to Anantapur years, did you have any opportunities to interact with Baba or...
Yes, many times, like, Swami fulfilled all my wishes. Like, I have a very close friend called Bariya. She and me, always, you know, we were praying that Swami, you know, should help us for everything. Like, you know, when Swami comes, we wanted to serve Swami. And then that was fulfilled. Then I wanted to sing in front of Swami. That was fulfilled. Because, you know, I was not in the bhajan group. But still, you know, somehow the mic came in front of me. And I was singing in front of Swami. So those were the very beautiful moments which Swami gave us. And then during the interview, we were just sitting very close to Swami's feet. And that was the time when Swami showed that Pushkara diamond. He showed, and we had a very close interaction. Like I talked to Swami, and then Swami said that no, it will go away, so don't go in the material world. So that
you wanted
me.
It?
No, I didn't want it. I wanted to touch it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, quite naturally.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was very small, when I just started, you know, about 8th, just passed Balvika's first group, and Swami had given us the interview, the whole group interview. Swami,
was it in Dharmakshetra or here?
Yeah, Dharmakshetra.
In Bombay.
So, yes. So, I had got an opportunity to do aarti to Swami. So, Swami asked me, what is your name? So, when I said Kalpana, he said, Dunya Bhar Mein Kalpana. So, I did not understand what is the meaning of that. So, I was asking everybody, what is the meaning of that?
Dunya Bhar Mein, all over the world. Yes. Kalpana means imagination.
Imagination. Uh-huh. My father told me the same thing. That it is like, you know, Dunya Bhar Mein Kalpana means Swami says that your thought, the meaning of your idea. So, you know, it will go all over. And now it is after so many years I am understanding it, because my work is so much concentrated with these creative activities and the ideas which are coming through Swami. So, you
and
know,
you do it all over the world.
The world, yes.
Oh, wow, you were a little girl at that time, I guess.
And Swami's words are coming very true. Like anything he says, no, it will come very true. And that I have got lot of experiences, because Swami once in my mother's interview, he told that she was having asthma. So she was always worried, because I was after 3 boys, and she was always worried that who will take care for me after when I grow big and if she is no more. So Swami said, don't worry, after everything, after she settles and in front of your husband, you will go. So after so many years, this was when I was in 6th standard.
You would have been 11
yes.
years old
yes.
or 12.
Yes, and that time Swami had told, and after so many years I got married, I got 2 children, and then one fine day my mother calls me and she says, I'm not well. So I don't know what made me say, you know, and she said, I'm very worried, like, you know, something will happen to your father, and he was also not keeping well. So if I go first, then if he goes first and then something happens to me, what will happen? So I said, why you are saying like that? I don't know. It came automatically from my mouth after so many years, that why you are feeling like that? Swami said, no, that you will go before father. So why you are feeling like that? And within a week, I get a phone call in my house that she is no more. So, and within 1 month, my father also expired.
Oh, and the sequence so, that Baba
yes,
had assured
yes,
them.
Yes, assured them. Hmm. And that time, during that time, when I was doing seva in seva dal activities in Whitefield, my husband had also joined me. So we both were doing. So we had pad namaskar. Swami said, "Your father has come to me." So that was the time when after darshan I go out. We get the news that my father is no more.
Mm. Did you understand when he told you?
Yes, I knew. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Must have been reassuring to know that he has come to Swami.
Yes.
That makes it easier to accept
yes.
the inevitable.
Yeah. Mm. And then another experience, very good experience, is my husband, he was feeling very dejected because I put my eldest son in Swami's school. So, first son, so he was thinking that he should be with us. And means because he is coming from a different, not a Sai organization. So, he used to feel that why I'm keeping in Swami's school and all. And what happened is when we came to see him for the first time after his admission in school, Swami was not here. He was in Whitefield. And my son was kept in the sick room. And all on his eyes, there were chickenpox boils. And we didn't believe what happened, no. And my husband was very, very upset. He said, "Let's go and talk to Swami." So we went all the way to Whitefield, and I got a chance to speak in the line when Swami came. And I told Swami, "My son is not well." So Swami says, "Acha, very happy." So, you know, my husband, after darshan, he said that, "What did Swami say? He talked to you something?" So I said, "Yes, he told me something. So many things he told." He said, "Acha, very happy." So he was very angry. He said that, "Let's go to Parthi again and see there, and let's wait and see. I don't want to go to Bombay again." So we came back to Parthi and we see. And next day when we go to see my son, there was no one boil on his eye. Not even one boil. And you know, we were so surprised that within a day, the chicken pox boils can be disappeared from the eye especially. So that is one beautiful experience which we got.
And then your other son also studied here.
Yes, he also had many experiences. My second son, he had asthma again. He got it here only when he was in school. But then what happened is Swami used to take care of him so much that every time, you know, whenever he gets the asthma attack, Swami used to give him one chocolate and then it used to go away. So that is how. And these two kids, they enjoyed very much Swami's grace. Though Swami was not talking to them every day, but the presence itself makes a difference.
Now, after you left Anandpur College, obviously you sent your children to Swami's school. Apart from that, how else did you practice His presence in your life?
Yeah. So, after my children came to school, still, you know, we were both, my husband and myself, we were completely devoted to Swami's activities like Sevadal. And then I was also taking Balvikas for the children. And then afterwards, when we shifted to Bangalore, what happened was, you know, my husband got very busy and I started my own business. So business in the sense, it is a social venture called Handicraft Sourcing. And what I wanted was to inculcate Swami's teachings in this. So Swami always says, "Help ever, hurt never," and then "Love all, serve all." So I felt that I should do something for the woman. So I started going to the rural areas. I started teaching creative activities. And after they finish their products, I take it and I do in the social venture, I market them.
Mm-hmm. So where do the profits flow to?
Profits, again, I divert it to the rural teaching because I don't charge the rural ladies. And till now, I have taught about 29,992 ladies. And out of that, 450 ladies are completely working for me on part-time basis.
What do you teach them? What kind of crafts?
I teach them paper products, the handmade paper products and its convertibles. And jute products, banana bark, silk products, and we also have herbal soaps. Very nice. And shampoos, yes.
And where do you market these?
These products are taken by one lady who is acting as a distributor, and she takes it to different countries like UK, then we have China, then USA has just started, and then Sri Lanka and Africa.
I understand Swami gave you a lot of guidance to get started with it. Would you like to share?
Yes. Actually, I was every day I used to tell Swami that whatever, if you don't like me doing like that, please tell me something that which I should do something according to you. So there were many years passed. And Swami, whenever I used to come here and sit, usually I never used to sit with the students or with the devotees, because I was teaching in a rural area here, like Omkar Kunta. It's 30 kilometers from Puttaparthi. And I used to go there, teach the a group of 30 ladies. I used to come down from Bangalore every week, teach the ladies for Saturday, Sunday and go back. And while going back, I used to take, just peep at Swami for darshan line and catch the bus and go to Bangalore. So I never got the opportunity to come and sit close by. But it so happened that just before Swami left his physical body, I don't know, I felt that I should go and sit in the line. And I used to go, it made me, you know, in the first line. And Swami used to keep on staring at me from the interview room till he passed across, you know, the Anantapur students' line. And he used to go further. And I used to tell in my mind that, Swami, I want to be always at your lotus feet. And I used to always have a intuition that Swami will give me a name, a brand name, because everybody says that you should have a brand name for your products. So I used to say, Swami, brand name. So he never gave that time. Okay. And what happened is, after his he left his physical form, University of Illinois, they came, about 35 consultants came to Bangalore to our office, and they studied my whole company profile, and they said that you should have a brand name. So all these 35 people, they were working on giving a brand name for my products. So I said the last visit was to Puttaparthi. That was on 5th January. So the first Sunday, first Thursday of the year. So I just told them that we'll go to Parthi, and that is the last visit, because 6th was the brand name announcement. So we all came to Parthi. I said that as you see other temples, you also come and see, have a darshan of Samadhi Mandir. So they all came, they visited, they felt that something calm has, you know, something transformation. Because they couldn't express what it
is. Were the Americans?
Yes. Mm. They had come from Illinois University.
Mm. And no, all maybe people of Indian origin?
No. Only one boy called Abhishek was there, and the others were all foreigners. So they said that something was, you know, happening in their mind, very calm and quiet feeling, which they have never experienced in other temples. So I didn't want to explain anything more to them, because Swami had done his work. So I just, you know, we came out, and then we went to Ishwarama Trust. I showed them how the ladies are working and all. And then we just came across, and on the way back to Bangalore, they were saying that, ma'am, you should have a brand name, and we have thought about it. And I said, okay. And in my mind, I was so feeling bad, because Swami has not given me a brand name. And somebody from Illinois University and all these others are coming and giving. So that day night, I'm crying, Swami, please give a brand name. Today is the last day. Because now I can't wait anymore, because people have spent so much and come to my company to see and give a brand name. And you are not giving. I'm dying since so many years, you know, that Swami, please, and you're not giving. So, okay. Swami comes in my dream that day night at exactly at 3 o'clock, and he says, all the Illinois University who all were come, they are in my dream. They are sitting in the interview room, and Swami is there. I'm sitting here. Bariya is also there. And Swami shows his hand, and he says, what is this? So I'm always used to talk to Swami in English. So I say, Swami, hand. So he says, no, Hindi mein bolo. So I say that, Swami, haath. Then Bariya says, haath. So Swami says, nahi, aur bolo, aur bolo. So then he says, no. Then he so many say so many things and he says, no, this is Hast. So, okay. Then he says, Hast is your brand name. To me, he looks and he says, Hast is your brand name. And, you know, in my so this thing, anxiety, I say, Swami, tagline, tagline.
He so, wanted a full advertising
yes,
campaign.
Yes. So I say, Swami, tagline. So Swami says, okay, skill meets personality.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then he explains to others, all those people, consultants, that her skill, she is developing other women's personality. So the tagline is, skill meets personality. And he says that, I take Pad Namaskara Swami, I quickly get up from my dream, I search for the paper and pen before I forget that word, you know. Because sometimes in my mother's life also it has happened that Swami told so many things in her dream and she has forgotten by the time she got up. And my third son asked me, what happened, what are you writing? So I said, no, Swami gave brand name, before I forget, you know, I have to write it. So, you know, I have taken a... And then second morning, like 9 o'clock was the announcement of the brand name, and these people had all done PPT presentations and all, but I knew the product brand name would be this. So I go over there and we all have sit for the meeting and they all start their PPT presentation, which I had to, you know, go through that because they have taken so much trouble. And then last they say that, ma'am, which brand name you want? So I said that, see, this thing has happened. And in my dream, Swami gave this dream, this Hast, skill meets personality. And they were so surprised, everyone started crying. Because, you know, they were so surprised, how can a man, they said man, you know, for them he is a man, but for me he is Bhagwan. So, you know, they said that how can a man, after he is no more, you know, in the samadhi, from the samadhi he can give a brand name to a company. And that was great. And they all, you know, they were so happy. Happily, you know, I also got my brand name and they were also happy with the brand name. They said that internationally it will be accepted. And it so happened, with the brand name, I was just sitting. Ladies were doing their work and we were going on with that. But the brand name I had not put on the products. So Swami again comes in my dream after some time and he says that, see, till I gave you the brand name, you are just asking, till I didn't give you the brand name, you are just asking, brand name, brand name. Now I've given you the brand name, what are you doing with it? Go forward, he says. And then he says, Bariya also, take it forward. Automatically, you know, after 2 months, my friend in US, she says that there is a green festival, why don't you come? So things just flowed by, you know, and Swami's this Hast, skill meets personality was inaugurated in Washington DC last year on September 21st. So
well, you have a very powerful brand manager, yes, branding manager, yes. So you have nothing to fear.
I don't have to do anything now. See, now this year also people have invited me, so it goes on to different countries, to London they have invited, so it goes on and on, you know. Swami is taking himself the brand name further. I don't have to do anything, but I'm just concentrating on teaching the ladies, because I want them to get more in life, and you know, I want to change their life something, because the women I teach are all BD workers, which is hazardous to them and their families also, and the children are also getting tuberculosis because of that. So I want to take them away and then I give them certain work. So only when I get the different orders from different places, that is how I can do something for them.
So it trickles down, the benefit trickles down to these,
yes,
women who you teach.
Yes.
Wonderful. So all the women that you work with and interact with, are they aware, do they have a sense of where you are coming from and who Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba is?
Yes. I always speak more about Swami, like how I am speaking to you, the same experiences I will be telling them. And sometimes, you know, I give them opportunity to come to Puttaparthi also. That is all Swami's wish only. I am not doing anything, but I am just an instrument. But I tell them that go to Puttaparthi, and during birthdays and all, they used to come. And most of the women who are working with me, they have seen Swami at least once.
No, so you brought them over to...
I have not brought them, but they by come? Themselves recall.
What are the areas that you operate in Andhra Pradesh and Karnataka?
No, I have got branches from Varanasi to Kanyakumari. So small 25 women, you know.
Groups.
Yeah,
clusters.
Groups, yes. Because what happens is when we have taught so many ladies, but all don't want to take up the activities as, you know, like doing further business or self-employment. They just learn and they have, because for ladies it is a lot of motivation required. And also, you know, their family backgrounds. So, in a way, I am very grateful to my family also. And my husband is also very cooperative. That is how I have come forward to do so many things.
Quite naturally.
Yes.
Yeah. So, this must require a lot of traveling.
Yes. It requires a lot of traveling. And I am traveling since past 2005 till now. So, after this... After a few years, after a few years more, you know, I'll be starting my own online school so that, you know, people will learn online. And that is how I want to take it further.
Very futuristic.
Yes.
Very nice. It's very nice. And you're taking it to a very higher level technology.
Yes. And now people are recognizing. That is the main thing, you know. I was never thinking that it will be recognized. But people know what is handicraft sourcing. Who is there behind the Safer We Foundation and what is HAS? People know it completely. So very interesting. And each time I get different ideas by Swami's inspiration only. I wanted to do, I'm not a science graduate, I'm from commerce background, but I wanted to do her herbal soap. So so that because the ladies where I go, they were growing aloe vera leaves, you know, plants. So I just was thinking that if I could get all the ingredients and everything, how to do a soap. And, you know, when, I don't know, next day when I come to office, nobody will believe this, but it comes tuck, 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 tuck to my mind that this procedure should follow this and this ingredient should go here and how it is and all. As if somebody is giving me instructions how to do, and I do the soap and keep it, and it is a click. So now I am exporting the soaps also to Italy. So that is how.
Very nice. Kalpana, all this work that you do and you devote your time to, it's all about empowering women, very disadvantaged women in rural India who are stricken by poverty, illiteracy and so on. Why is this work important as part of like a subsection of Baba's mission? Why is empowerment of women so important to the Sai mission?
Swami always says that when one woman is educated in any of the skill or any education, the entire family will be educated. So I feel that when I give a woman, why I have not taught the small children? Because they may forget, or they may, you know, they will use it at a later stage in their life. But when I teach the woman at this stage, after the age of 35, because after the age of 35, their husbands are very busy and with their own work, and the woman has already completed her motherhood, means the period where she is, and she starts feeling alone, where the children are also grown up and they are also a little busy in their own school, college and all these levels. And she starts feeling left out, and she feels that only cooking, I have finished, I have done only cooking till now, what have I done? And then in some cases I have come across the children ask their mother, why did you waste time just doing cooking and looking after the family? Why you didn't do anything? So this is how, you know, I feel that I, when I teach some creative skill, she will be able to earn for herself and at the same time feel the gratitude to God that, you know, somehow I came there as an instrument and taught them.
So all the teaching you do for free?
Yes, completely free.
Do they wonder, why is this lady being so nice to us? Does she have an ulterior motive?
No, because I go there and stay for some time. I tell them that it is for your own good. So if you want to do, you can. There is no force. Like those who have taken the training and they don't come for work, that also is okay. So some are coming after so many years back. So there is not a problem. And maybe in the starting they may feel like that. Why am I coming? Maybe I have a selfish motive for that. But then when the first order comes and the money goes to them, it's all transparent. they are very happy. And there are ladies who are working with me from past, from 1995.
Mm, so you have a long-term relationship with them.
So there is no problem. They are happy.
So in your mind, this is how you are translating what you have received from your chancellor and passing it on to those who don't have much.
Yes, sure. And I want them also, now I'm going to the next step. Last month, I attended Balvikas Guru's conference in Mysore, and our state president, Mr. Dhakappa, he said that we have to take this forward, you know. Not only coming and attending the conference, but take it forward. So what I thought was, all these 450 ladies who are under working under my organization on part-time basis, at least I should make them, you know, into Balvikas gurus, so that they will teach the others, and in turn, you know, we'll have more spreading of Swami's mission to different corners of villages in India.
That's a very good thought.
Yeah.
Because you already have a captive audience, and you can use sort of you have their confidence. So if you teach them something good, to teach their own communities, their children around them, it'll be fantastic. Do you feel very grateful that Swami has given you this opportunity to align what you believe in with your work and make a real difference?
Yes, I'm very happy, and I'm really grateful to Swami, because because of him, I'm this at this level. Otherwise, nobody would have known me. Like, now everyone knows me, like that, okay, even the remote village, anyone goes, they know who is Kalpana Heblekar. So, you know, I'm really very grateful that, because there are so many people in the world, no? Everyone doesn't know anyone. So it's only when we do something that, you know, something comes up and they are grateful. So in a way, I'm telling them, you should be grateful to God, not me, because I will come and go. But Swami will be always there, no? Or any God by themselves, whomever they believe. We are not stressing, but whomever, I tell them that God is everywhere.
Where do you get your motivation from? You're a mother of three boys, you have a lot of family responsibilities. How do you make the time, the effort to go into villages, stay there, do the training?
I think this is all Swami's will. Without his will and wish, nothing can come up. I don't know from where everyone asked me the same question, but I'll not be able to answer that, because it is Swami's wish.
Do you make a profit in your work?
Yes, profit is there, because handicraft sourcing is a profit-making venture only. But 3/4 of the profit goes to the woman, and 1/4 I'm keeping it for my other meeting, other logistics
expenses.
And other expenses.
Very nice model. Kalpana, has the obviously in your case, I normally ask my guests if the Mahasamadhi has made a difference for them, but in your case, it looks like Swami is more available than ever before, and he's guiding your business.
Yes.
How do you connect with him every day?
Yes. Every day I get up and I make it a point, because I know my weaknesses. So I will tell Swami that today, let me not do this, so that it will make you happy. So this is how the simple thing goes on every day. And then I feel that, you know, I'm more connected. When nowadays I'm doing more, like, you know, I'm trying to practice Jyoti meditation a little bit. And I'm trying to do little more than, because of my activities the whole day, I'm very busy. Of course, I cannot do lot of things, but still, in a small way, I'm doing every day for my satisfaction, so that I know I'm happy, that when I tell something to Swami, of course I do it, I know, and it reminds me every day. So I'll tell my other woman also, that tell something to God early in the morning, and then you keep up that till the night, and then again at night you tell them what you have done and how you have achieved that. So that is how it inspires us.
Very nice, very practical. Kalpana, final thoughts. Who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba for you?
He is everything for me. He is just, you know, it's like my breath. As I am breathing every day, Swami is like that to me. So there is nothing across, away from Swami. Can never imagine.
Like your life breath.
Yes.
Very strong connection with your chancellor, isn't it?
Yes, very strong, very, very. And nobody can change that, however.
Very nice connecting with you, Kalpana. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Swami, for giving me this opportunity to reach to so many people through Radio Sai. Thank you so much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you just heard an episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of interviews with Bhagwan's former students. Our guest today was Mrs. Kalpana Heblekar of Bangalore. This interview was recorded at the Prashanti Digital Studios on May the 9th, 2014. As always, we look forward to your feedback. Please share your thoughts, comments and suggestions by email at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Devotion to thee.